Hey, everybody. Welcome to It's All About Relationship. I'm David Novak, and you're about to listen to episode number 98. Again, welcome to It's All About Relationship. If you are a returning listener, thank you so much for being faithful and listening to us on a regular basis. And if this is your first time, welcome aboard. I think you're going to have a really good time today. We have some special things that are going on today's show. But before we get into all that, you know, little bit of business that we kind of usually do. Hopefully you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. Facebook, it's all about relationship. You can follow us there. And on Instagram, it would be David Novak Podcast. That's the name there. And why didn't I call it the same name? It's because somebody else had the name. So go figure, right? I had no idea. And if you want to follow me as an actor, which hopefully you will and do, it's David Novak Actor. And that's the same for Facebook and Instagram and Twitter for that matter. So anyway, we had on our last show, we had Paul Marc Goulet on episode 97. If you did not get to listen to that episode, please do, because I think you'll really, really enjoy it. And today's going to be special too. But before we get into it, just want to remind you that if you are blessed with the show today, please, please, please share the link with somebody. It's not about making money or anything like that. It's about encouraging people and sharing the gospel and lifting other people up. That's why we want you to share the show, okay? Because I don't ask for money here, so it is what it is, right? So anyway, it's going to be a good one today. We have special guests today, but we don't have just one. See, we're coming at you double-barreled today. We have two special guests. I won't give you their names yet because I like to tease you, as you probably know if you ever listen to the show. So I'm going to read just a couple of little short little paragraphs from a book that they wrote. Oh, okay, so now they're authors. Okay, so I gave you that. All right. Okay, here we go. Are you ready to leave your everyday life to meet God in exciting, scary, powerful, and new ways? Sometimes a change in environment is a gift to quiet the noise and to hear God's gentle whisper instead. We pray such trips will be a time for you to go deeper and refresh, restore, and re-energize. You're going to get travel halfway around the world. Do not stop there. The most important part of the journey is the last 12 inches from your head to your heart. I love that. That's great. Invite the Holy Spirit along on your travels. Okay, so here's a little bit more I'm going to read, because I'm teasing the heck out of you, Harry, but you're going to be glad you did, or I did. Okay, every once in a while, someone writes a book solely out of the interest of those that write it for. Sorry. In writing defining moments, the transformational promises of faith-based travel. So that's the name of the book they wrote. Rick and Susan McCarthy, they're our guests today. They've set out to accomplish several goals: to encourage people to take faith-based vacations and turn them into defining moments that will shape their lives forever, to help people see the real possibility of not just having their heads filled with facts regarding a vacation spot, but to have their hearts shifted and changed in ways that they never imagined, to learn the practical ways of meeting God in powerful and personal ways that will restore, revive, and re-energize their faith, and finally, to inform people of the important places in Christian history so that they can be strengthened and inspired in their faith. All right, welcome to the show, Rick and Susan McCarthy. Hey, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Hey.
Hey, David.
Great to have you guys on. And, you know, like I said earlier in the pre-call, I just call you guys. I know you're not both guys, but that's just what I do. So welcome to the show. So glad to have you both. Rick, can you give us a little bit of background on the book? I know I teased it a little bit, but go ahead.
Well, what it really is about is, like you said, the head and the heart. Usually people go on these trips and they have great head teaching. They learn so much. The Bible comes alive. They rush back on the bus for 10 more stops that day. We want people to slow down a little bit, go beyond that to have a heart, life application, defining aha moment with God experience. And we're just drawn by wanting to see where God shows up for people and remember how he displayed his glory. Because experiencing history, it will fill your mind, but when you experience the Holy Spirit, your heart is filled. And that's really what this is all about, transformation.
So the way I understand it is that when you collaborated on the book, Rick kind of wrote the head part, the head knowledge part of the book, and Susan, didn't you kind of write the heart part, if we'll call it that?
I did, and that's because what got me started in wanting to write this with Rick, I had been on an Israel trip with my church that was just amazing, and they led the trip like this, very much focusing on the heart transformation and the Holy Spirit transformational process at each stop. And when I got back, I thought, I want to do this every vacation I go on. This was amazing. Well, I did book another vacation. This was when I was still single. And it was not that. It was very dry and historical. It was still fun and we had a great time. But I didn't have those sacred kind of moments, and amazing connection with the other people on the trip like I had in the first trip. And so I thought, man, I don't want anybody to go on a trip and you know, invest the time and the money and energy and without having this, especially when you go to sacred faith-based sites. And Rick had always wanted to write a book on faith-based, or on travel at least. And so we had... we went through a program called the Dream Masters Program, and we figured out that it was both of our dream together to write this book. Mm-hmm. And so that's what got us focused on that. And so that's why I took the heart part, is that was the part that really was motivating to me to get out to others.
And you know what, I can so relate to what you were just saying, because my wife, Kathy, and I, we went to, and for those that are listening, when we're talking about the trips, we're kind of talking mostly Holy Land here, you know, right, Susan, Rick?
Yes, that was my trip.
Yeah,
my first trip.
And Kathy and I went to Israel 2 years ago, and we had an awesome time. Never been there before, and we went to all the normal, the usual places. Bethlehem, Jerusalem, the Jordan, Jericho. I mean, all the places that you would go typically on an Israel trip, and we had an awesome time, and they did a great job, but. If we had gone a little bit deeper, like you're talking about, Susan, I think it would, I mean, it was life-changing as it was, but I think another, even a step deeper would have even been more, you know, more memorable, I guess would be a way, and more life-changing, even more life-changing, wouldn't you say, Rick?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, most of these books, most of these trips, they do what I wrote, you know, the historical significance of that site, the scripture, what you're going to see there today. But then what we said is, you know what, rather than rush and get back on the bus, let's take a half hour and go off and listen to God about this topic. And Susan wrote things like a defining moment question in the background for it. She wrote a prayer. She selected a contemporary and a traditional worship song at each site. Mm-hmm. And that is for the person to hear from God and then come back. Let's take another half hour in group and share what you heard. And then after dinner, let's kind of build on what happened today. And people will hear something from somebody else and it'll build something for them, or they'll give them feedback to somebody that will help them grow with that. And so it's just that life application, you know, gee, this is relevant to what happened there 3,000 years ago. It's relevant to me, my life today.
Right, exactly.
Well, and I love how your podcast is all about relationships.
Yes.
And that is one of the key parts of the trip, is to constantly bring people together, weed them together, whether it's sharing at the end of the day or during each stop what their most intimate moment with God was like. Mm-hmm. And when they do that, it kind of is a domino effect for other people to share their intimate moments. And then by the time you hear everybody's heart, your relationship deepens with them and with God at the same time, so that so that you just can't wait for the next experience.
And we have different roles on the trip. And one of the key roles is to have a team shepherd, like a pastor or someone who will just sit in the lobby at night and be available for people that want to go deeper with something they learned that day or something they're struggling with in their life. You don't go on a trip like this expecting to make new best friends, but right. It happens.
Right.
You're sharing moments, sharing experiences. You're sharing meals and flights and new cultures and communion and things like that. So it is all about relationships.
Absolutely. I can totally see that. Now, and you guys have been on so many trips. I read here that I guess Rick has been to like 80 different countries and Susan 70. Am I correct in that?
So far.
Yeah, so far. And still counting, right? Yeah.
Right.
I want to go to the Holy Land with you guys. I mean, I really do. I think that would be... I'm going to tell Kathy the four of us are all going with a group. You know, what do you think? Nothing like putting you on the spot, huh? No, that's awesome.
The book was actually four books originally. We wrote one on the Holy Land, one on Paul's journeys, Greece and Turkey, mm-hmm. one on the Reformation in Germany, Switzerland, France, England, Scotland, and one on short-term mission trips. And then we just decided to combine them all into a 600-page book.
Yeah, it's kind of like War and Peace, but it's kind of like a manual, though, is what's really cool about the book. Because I'm sitting here looking at it right now, and in the beginning... For example, folks, chapter one, there's a short little thing. It's called preparing for your journey, expectations for the journey, staffing your faith adventure, how to use this book, and travel tips. But then, like in chapter two and three and four and on, I mean, it has, for example, like in chapter two, you got Bethany. And then if you look up Bethany in the book, there's a few pages on Bethany and what you would see there historically and what happened, in the Bible, in Bethany, of course. And then it gives you, as we were talking earlier, Susan will bring in some thoughts, you know, to help you go deeper and deeper. But each chapter is a plethora of different cities and places that you would want to go. I mean, I'm looking at Capernaum, Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee, Jericho, Nazareth, and then you go over into Paul's journeys into Turkey and, Antioch and Ephesus and on and on and on. So the book is basically a full-on manual. And it took you 10 years to write this, and I can sure understand why. I mean, it's like an encyclopedia, but it's so doggone interesting. Like I told you before the call that I looked up a few places that Kathy and I had gone, and I read through them, and it's just like Gethsemane here. You talk about, Jesus was praying, and I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm just going to do it to you. I didn't warn you I was going to do that, but maybe Rick could give just a little bit of thoughts on Gethsemane, historically, if you remember, Rick, and Susan can give a little thought about some of the other stuff that happened that would be, more, heartfelt. So what do you think, Rick?
Absolutely. Some of the trips will actually take you through that process and say, well, we'll leave over here is where the Last Supper was. Mm-hmm. And we'll take communion. And, God says, or Jesus said, remember me. And so what is it he wants you to remember about his body? What is it he wants you to remember about his blood? Mm-hmm. And then they had us serve each other communion. And when Susan and I came back, and the next time we had communion, and every time since the church, we just immediately turn and serve each other. So mm-hmm. that was something that lasted, that came out of it. And then they would go to the garden. And the garden, olive trees, they don't know how old they are. And so there's olive trees there that could have been there at the time of Christ.
Right.
And so it's just an amazing, solemn place to be, to imagine that. And after that, they take you over to where he, Antonio Fortress, and where he would have been scourged and all that, where he would have been kept overnight. And we sung down in the basement of a potential prison that he was in, and just a beautiful reverberation of worship songs off the walls with this group singing together. Mm-hmm. Those are the kind of experiences that are just really memorable.
Yeah, and for example, he will, like Rick gives, what to see, and let's say I'm looking at Gethsemane here, which I am, and it says what to see, and it gives basic historical information, in the Basilica of the Agony, the Church of All Nations, and it goes into the, you know, all the background on Gethsemane, and then it gives a lot of scripture references, for example, and then we get into actual scripture reference of when Jesus was with his disciples in the place called Gethsemane, and he said to his said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And so he gives all the scripture references. And then Susan comes down here and she says, for example, imagine Jesus taking his very closest and dearest friends with him during the darkest hour. And she goes on to talk about the relationship and spending time watching and praying. Can you elaborate on that a little bit, Susan, your thought process and all that?
I'm thinking about what Jesus was thinking about when he was telling disciples to stay up and watch and pray. Now, the disciples didn't know, like Peter didn't know, that he was going to deny Christ three times in the next few hours. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is saying, hey, stay up with me and watch and pray. And he is, I think, trying to warn Peter, you know, there's a lot for you to be praying about. And I think that Jesus, just like he didn't want to see the disciples fall into places that they didn't want to go into, he doesn't want us to fall into temptations that we don't want to go into. And so I explain in this particular part of the book, listen right now to Jesus and ask him if there's a certain part of your life that he doesn't want you to fall into temptation with. And just sit and listen to him and then pray about it. And then we give people an opportunity to share, you know, well, this is what I'm hearing from the Lord. He doesn't want me to, maybe it's, he's asking me not to try to be unforgiving in this situation that I'm going through at work. And what is interesting is when you confess that out loud to people and you say, hey, I'm going through this situation at my job that they're doing some really horrible things to me and I'm really having a hard time with unforgiveness. Once that gets out and people start validating and comforting you in that, it changes the whole situation and you're able to process it in community, in relationship with Jesus, with others. And it transforms you when you're able to do that. And especially when you're sharing with each other the different areas of temptation in this example that you're having to go through.
That is awesome. That is taking the word of God and bringing it down into where we live. And can you imagine, I know you can, but the people that are listening to me, can you imagine sitting, at the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus had that travail of prayer and going through all that emotional distraught and whatnot, and then having this conversation, you know, just outside the Garden of Gethsemane, and this is what I'm going through, and that kind of helps you put things into perspective, and it's, obviously it's not just the Garden of Gethsemane; it's everywhere in the Holy Land that we might be going to lessons like this that we can personally identify with, right? Wouldn't you say?
It is, and it's like another one that pops to mind mm-hmm. is not only the Holy Land, but we were doing a piece on Bach, Johann Bach, in his hometown of Leipzig. And I was looking at how, you know, we hold him so dear mm-hmm. in his music today.
Oh, yeah.
But what we don't know is that when he was the worship leader for 27 years in his church, the people really disliked his music and found it stodgy and paid him at paltry levels, just trying to get him to quit his job because they hated his music so bad. When he died, they used some of his music to wrap trash in.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, what we don't know about Bach is that when he got his hands on a Bible that Luther translated into the German language, when he could read the Word of God in his mother tongue, everything changed for Bach. And he heard God telling him to start writing music, even if it was without words, so that people could hear the word of God through music only. And as he did that, he stayed faithful to God and he kept on doing that. Now, then I read an article in Christianity Today, mm-hmm. and it said that years and years later, especially in Asian countries, people are hearing the music of Bach, and they cannot, they're just like so curious as to how this amazing music got put together. And so when they read that it was because Bach was basing his music on the Bible, on the Word of God, they start reading the Word of God, and they start giving their lives to Christ and coming to Jesus.
Oh, my goodness.
And so Bach doesn't notice, you know, that hundreds of years later this is going to be happening, but, you know, God does. And so then we take people through that process of what is it that you're, that God's asking you to do for Him right now, and you're not seeing a lot of fruit out of it, and you're getting a little discouraged. Mm-hmm. Can you just share that with us and then be encouraged that God, if He's asking you to do that, He is going to use that. You might never see it till you get to glory, but He, if He's asking you to do something and show up in a certain place, He is going to be faithful and use it.
I love that. I love every word you just said. That is so awesome. And that's what we do here. I mean, that's what this podcast is all about. Relationship with God, others, and yourself. And that's what we're all... Hey, Rick, I haven't heard from you.
what she was just saying is this is a great example how God reveals His glory, you know, 2,000, 3,000 years ago in these spaces.
Right.
And that realize that we can, you know, and then more recently in Leipzig with Bach, and we realize that we can experience the same glory if we give Him the time, we give Him the space, and we just try to listen on the Holy Spirit and receive what He's got for us. And It's beautiful to receive it individually, to share it together as a couple, to share it with your group. Mm-hmm. In the evenings after dinner, not only are we talking about highlights of the day, but we have affirmations time for mm-hmm. people to really say, I saw you today and how gentle you were with that person. Yeah. You're building trust, you're building intimacy, a safe place, transparency, vulnerability. So whatever it is, God wants to show us about ourselves.
Exactly. And, you know, earlier I was talking about, you know, the Holy Land and how the book is, you know, kind of, but I didn't want to mislead everybody because there's also chapters in here that have to do and with England and Cambridge and London and Oxford and Scotland and lots of other areas too. And when Susan brought up Bach, I, you know, kind of reminded me that I need to mention this book is not just for the Holy Land, but it's for basically anywhere you're going to be travel, right? I would say so, Rick.
Absolutely. Each of us can tell you multiple stories in each of those locations, including short-term mission trips where God has just revealed Himself so beautifully to us. Susan, I know you have a story you'd like to share about Corinth.
Mm. Oh, yeah. So, you know, in Corinth, there was a lot of trouble in the church. Paul was having a hard time. There was a lot of sin issues in their church, and Paul was wanting to lovingly rebuke them, but get rid of, you know, challenge some of the sin issues that were being, that were happening. And a lot of people were getting hurt as a result. And so we talked about the ministries that we're involved with. We've all had this experience where you have gotten hurt in ministry.
Right.
And sometimes it's been reconciled and sometimes it hasn't. And that reconciliation is so important. So the pastor that was doing the teaching for our group, he did such a great job of standing in the center of our group and saying to everybody, I want you to call out one word if you've ever been hurt in ministry. And he said, and I'm going to take that on, and I'm going to just, I want you to leave that hurt and that trauma, you know, that you've had from ministry. I want you to leave it here in Corinth and forgive what was done to you and just be able to process it. Mm-hmm. And so people would just, you know, call out one word named like Africa or, you know, Children's Society or whatever it is where they knew what they meant.
Right.
And the pastor just wept in the center of the circle, and we wept with him, and we wept all that pain away and left it in Corinth.
Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome to hear that. What a story. I love that. So, no.
One experience for us that, again, continues with us to this day is in Gideon Spring. Susan had gone on the trip before I knew her, and getting in the Springs, they're like, hey, Gideon, God calls him Mighty Warrior. He's going to take 500 Israelites, beat the 132,000 Midianites, clearly God's victory. And he's like, no, not me. I'm not Mighty Warrior. I'm the least man from the least tribe. And they're like, well, God's created you. He's got a name for you. Why don't you go off and try to hear a name? Mm-hmm. Susan heard a name on her first trip there that she didn't think was powerful enough. It was Sunshine. And everyone around her told her that was a great name and powerful and life-giving and it was reliable. So we go back, 5-6 years later, we're going back together. And I said to her the night before, I said, well, maybe God's got a middle name for you tomorrow, but I still think Sunshine's a great name. Mm-hmm. So she goes off and she sits, and if you remember the story, there's the creek there where the spring where the soldiers that held their sword up with their right hand and got down on one knee and just took the water in their other hand. Those were the ones that became part of the 500, and the ones who just got down uncautiously and lapped the water, you know, were sent home. And so she goes and sits in the shade next to that, and the sun starts reflecting off the water into her eyes. She moves two more times, and each time it continues to happen. So finally she says, okay, I'll accept it then. So many of us call her Sunshine, because that is who Susan is and how she shows up with truth and with light and for people's lives. So I heard a name, but I always want to have confirmation that this isn't just Rick, you know, coming up with this name. That really is. So I didn't write it on name tag like most people did. I didn't share it with the group before we got back on the bus. I didn't tell Susan. And so I'm talking on the bus across the aisle to a pastor about something completely unrelated to that. And he ends up using the name and says, oh, Rick, you are really a builder of men. I'm like, oh, wow, that was the exact words that God gave me. And so then wow. I could write it on the name tag and share with other people and all. And that is, it is, you know, where my passion is. And so that was beautiful. We got new names.
Wow. That's pretty cool. A builder of men. And that kind of reminds me that you do some coaching too, right, Rick?
Yeah, I coach Christian CEOs, and then we're involved with a number of ministries that are serving leaders, you know, pastors, missionary, parachurch leaders, and all of my passion is to influence the influencers, leverage the leaders, and that's what we're able to do.
And Susan has written another book on her own. I think it's on your own, right, Susan?
It is on my own.
Okay, and so you get all the credit, right? Rick? Sorry
about
that.
She told me after we finished writing her book, after we finished the book, she goes, I'm never going to write another book again. Then she went ahead and wrote that one. So clearly she meant to never write with me again.
Oh, that's what, okay. And I can do some marriage counseling after we get off here. So help you guys out. So Susan, so what's the name of that other book that you have?
It's Captive to Captivated.
Okay.
And it's really my story of when I grew up in a very challenging church with the Lord. I heard all about how you would go to hell when you sinned, but I didn't quite hear the part about the grace and Jesus saving you. So I had a very frightening relationship with God, and it affected me well into my 30s before I really understood that you could have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. And then you could start hearing him guide you. That was like totally foreign to me. So it's the process that God took me through where he taught me how to listen to him in several different ways, how to hear his voice and be guided by him, and how I doubted it at first, and I struggled with it. I thought, this can't be happening, but it happened. It was all Jesus. So it's my story of that.
Wow, that sounds like an awesome book, and that's one thing that I try to share on our podcast too, having to do with relationship with the Lord, because if you come from a deep quote unquote religious background, you may be very prone to be very works oriented, you know, where you have to earn your way to heaven or being good enough for God or, you know, cleaning up your act before you come to God or whatever it may be. And as you just mentioned, Susan, it's about relationship and grace and God's love. And you know, we come to the Lord because he loves us, and that's what draws us to him. And he takes all of our sin and all of that stuff, and he you know, drives our sins as far as the east is from the west, and we can come to him in his grace, in his love, and not have to perform but actually have a relationship with the Lord, like you just alluded to, Susan. So that's an awesome book. I haven't read that. I can't. What's the name of it again? I'm sorry.
Captive to Captivated.
Yeah, and actually, I just wanted to, Amazon. Okay, that was my next question. How can they get that? Okay, so it's on Amazon. And the book we've been talking to about previous to that is Defining Moments: The Transformational Promises of Faith-Based Travel. And I believe that's on Amazon, Rick?
Yes, and also our website, definingmomentsbook.com.
Okay. And now if they want to get a hold of you guys, you folks, I keep saying guys, I'm sorry. How can they do that? Susan?
We've got an email address at definingmomentsbook@icloud.com.
Okay.
And we'd love to chat with people.
Okay.
Now, travel is the one thing that makes you richer after you pay for it. And so we just love, you know, talking to people about travel and their possibilities.
I love that. And are you folks on Facebook too?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. And if they wanted to find you or the book, how could they find you on Facebook?
Rick McCarthy 180.
Is it 180 or is there a dot or a dash or anything? Or
I don't think there is. I can't remember.
Okay. All right. So, folks, again, Defining Moments, Transformational Promises of Faith-Based Travel. Look for it on Amazon. Be sure you do that. And the other one, Susan, again?
Captive to Captivated.
On Amazon as well.
On Amazon.
Okay.
Yep.
And also, her website is captivetocaptivated.com.
Awesome. Anything before we go that you want to leave us with?
We just want to encourage people, you know, whether they are going on a trip that's going to have this kind of aspect to it, or if it's just going to have the head aspect and they want to, in the bus and in their hotel room, layer in this aha moment experience, or if it's somebody leading a trip that wants to learn how to do it better. For pastors, the mission pastors, there's so much to learn in the short-term mission section of the book. And really, we have a lot of friends who are really never going to go on these trips, but they're armchair travelers, and they're having a blast reading through it. So I think all of us can enrich our understanding and appreciation of God through resources like this.
Yeah, our heart is that there won't be one person that wants to have these intimate experiences with God that misses out when they travel. If they want it, we want to be able to equip them and fly with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Rick and Susan McCarthy, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. And folks, make sure you check out the book. Again, Defining Moments. It's on Amazon.com. Rick and Susan McCarthy, check it out. You'll be glad you did. I've got the book right in front of me, and it's really amazing. You really got to get it, especially if you're going to be going on a trip soon. And even if you're not going to be going on a trip soon, as far as you think, maybe the Lord's going to lead you. You don't know. But you should get the book anyway because it's got some awesome things in it. It really does. So I highly, highly recommend it from David Novak. That's my official recommendation for the book, folks. Hey, Rick and Susan, as we leave, can you stay on the phone and don't hang up as we I want to talk to you after we get off. Is that okay with you, folks?
Thanks for that.
Absolutely. Hey, folks, thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of It's All About Relationship. And again, if this message has blessed you, please share the link. I'd really appreciate it. Episode number 98. God bless you all. Have an awesome week.